He's sending a message right that says, okay, with God here, about God. God's nature made of two aspects. You've got his goodwill, that part of God that transcends the rest of his nature. It's out of this goodwill that he intends, it's his intention that man and his universe or his world be good. It's out of his goodwill that he intends for the whole process to be good. But, what brought
it? That's a passive aspect, isn't it?
No, this is an active process. This is the active process out of which he creates.
But the given aspect is passive.
Okay. He's saying there's something under here. It's like when we talk about Plato. You know, Plato talks about form being on one another and what we actually are. We're shadows of the true forms of somewhere else. But what Robert's saying are shadows of God's nature itself. There are impulses or there are problems in God's nature he can't solve himself. And he calls this a given or a passive element. And what he's saying is that God's trying to deal with this element. Okay, in creation, this is the level in which God's trying to deal with this. Okay, God comes to the level of man. He gets involved actively right with man as man suffers, as man experiences his joys, or whatever. And by doing this, God has limited himself. He has come right to the level of change itself. Man experiences change. Man experiences the change in objects. Man experiences change himself. Because God is willing to get involved in this process, God himself is making himself subject to change. That's saying that God does not have an overall view at this point over here of what the future is going to be, but he's working toward this. He's working with man trying to reach the place where this goodwill in his nature will actually overcome. He already admits, Brockman does, that the goodwill is dominant, but yet it's still not reached the point in God's nature that it can control everything, it can overcome evil. But see, there's an advantage to this. You've got a God that's partially finite, but what makes him worthy of worship is the fact that he realizes the situation, he sees the situation in creation, and he's actively here trying to do something about it. He's actually involved in that. And that's what Wyman would say about Christ himself. He would say that Christ came to man and was with man, and it's through this that actually God himself experienced suffering and limitation. And by doing this, God knows what's going on, and he can tell what's happening from day to day in our experiences. And it possibly is subject even to change because of this. Not that we can petition God for change, but the fact that he's subject because of what we're doing in the process, the fact that he's subject or is concerned about what we're doing, and he wants us to know that we're concerned about what he's doing, and at the same time he wants to let us know he's concerned about what we're doing, and we're man and God too are working to get out here. It solves the problem of evil in a limited way, because I mean, it's pretty hard when you take the monotheistic concept of God and say we've got this all-loving God of grace that sits out here, even though he has come to man in a limited way for Christ, but yet he's still allowing it to happen. He's all perfect.
Well, can I ask you something else about the subject?
Sure.
You said something in the other class that I didn't quite understand. You said that you had, and I asked you about this after the class, but I didn't quite understand it. You said you had a sort of an existentialist view.
Okay.
Now, what does that mean?
What you were talking about, my existentialist view of art, right?
Right.
Okay, very simple.
I think you kind of explained it to me, but I didn't...
Okay.
Kind of really hold your hand over.
According to Hegel's idealism, he formulates a logic view, a process.
Uh-huh.
And the highest part point in this process has to do with idea. Once we get to the level of idea, and that comes, you know, the lower process here, we have being, essence, that leads to motion.
Motion, yeah.
That's that. What he's saying here, on from this level right here where I had that first thought of actual being, everything has been immediate. And it's even immediate right up to here. When he talks about being, he's thinking about the thoughts the subject has itself, the thoughts I have about myself. Uh-huh. Like I gave you the example of the student, remember?
Right.
The student applying to college. He said, okay, I want to go to college, and I think I should be accepted because of what I know, because I personally know it. And the dean over here saying, no, we've got to go by something that's immediate, something that's fast. Yeah, he's saying, really what we have here, he says, you've taken so many tests, he says, you made certain scores, and he said, these are the facts I know about. So what you have here, being able to formulate a notion for you, is the fact that, okay, I'm taking myself, I can think about myself now, I can think about facts about an object here, and I can put these together, and I can formulate a notion that comes to this level as idea. Okay, he takes that one step farther. He says the thought can transcend idea itself. Now, the contradiction of idea is nature over here. And nature is beyond his logic because his logic is based purely on thought. Nature is the contradiction from outside. Okay, out of this contradiction of that sort of thought. And remember, according to Hegel, he had a very high view of art. He said art up at this level.
He said art is right up here along with philosophy and religion. It's a process by which this absolute makes itself manifest to the world of ideas, which is the world in which we exist. And I'm saying I do not see art as an existentialist in that manner. I see art in much more of a personal way.
As an existentialist, I have the ability mind is to formulate an idea. But I'm saying the real meaning of that idea that I have here is in myself. I can look at this essence, but I have to take an essence or facts back within myself to define it. I define it in terms of my experience, my personal experience.
In other words, it's not just art for art's sake.
Well, it's not art for art's sake, but I don't hold this. I'm saying that I can go out and I can do something. I can go out and make a fence. And I'm saying this fence, if I do it to the level that I want it to be, I'm saying this fence can be artistic for me. And it can be something that's created accurately for me. It's not got to be something that has the function. Every time a piece of art is made, it has the actual function of the absolute trying, you know, of God trying to impart himself.
It can just be beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I got you. I didn't mean to hold all these. But I wasn't quite clear on that. And I thought I had. Thanks a lot.